This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir!
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 1 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott, your number. It's Friday. Get in line. Buffets open. 800-919-3776. And we mean it. Buffets open. Get in line.
We got a lot of variety in the buffet today, baby.
I mean,
there's a lot of variety. Sports
that's the thing.
Back.
It's like, we're going to be talking about all the headlines, but you might as well, like, if you've got something you want to talk about, you know we're going to get to it. So you might as well get in line now and do it. So we'll get the calls rolling in this show as we head into the weekend. And we head into a weekend where now everybody will be playing. 800-919-3776. Now, you can also get us on social media at Bart and Han on Twitter, Instagram, IG Live.
We'll do it live!
It was 12:30 today, as we always do. And we had a really good philosophical conversation, didn't we? Like, I love when we get deep into stuff and we have those conversations that are best for, you know, like IG Live and whatever. Whenever we get to do that other podcast that we want to do that goes beyond sports, you know? But anyways, but because we have a lot of things to get to, let's get right to Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And while we do want to point out that there's another issue now with baseball and the coronavirus, and the Cardinals now have two players who tested positive. Guess they needed to get some wings too, Bart, right? We'll see where that goes.
They got some thighs and breasts.
Not overreacting, though, as they're going to postpone today's game. They're going to play a doubleheader instead on Sunday. And, oh, by the way, doubleheaders now are 7 innings long.
That's interesting,
each game,
man.
That's going to be interesting. Mets lose, Yankees win, and we've got issues with those teams. We'll get into a lot of baseball at 2 o'clock. So, again, there's tons to talk about on the baseball side of things. But last night, Bart, what we had was the return of another sport. And Saturday will be the return of hockey. And they're going right to playoff-type format. But last night, the NBA was back. And while it's not playoffs, it's a sprint. 8 games, and then that's it. So teams that were included in the bubble, that were outside of the playoff 16 teams, have a chance to make the playoffs. One of them is the New Orleans Pelicans. They were the first game. The Utah Jazz, and the New Orleans Pelicans. That was the first game. Second game was the Clippers and the Lakers, and we'll get to that in a minute because that was a classic ending. But Jazz Pelicans had some controversy right out of the gate. And it had nothing to do with anything that happened on the floor. It didn't have to do with Rudy Gobert scoring the first points back. COVID Rudy, who shut down the league. Everybody blames him for it.
Rudy 19.
But, yeah, he did have the first first points of the NBA's return. And it was a 106-104 finish. The Jazz get the win. The Pelicans lose. And it's a costly, it's a painful loss. The Pelicans got to win as many games as they possibly can so they can find a way to make the playoffs. And you know the league wants them in, because why the hell else did we go to 22 teams? Because they wanted the Pelicans in. Why? Zion Williamson. So how did Zion do last night, Bart?
He had solid lines when he was on the floor.
When he was on the floor.
It's just tough, man. And you hear Zion talk about it, and you hear Zion, you know, say that he wants to be out there, but you know, it's an organizational thing, and I can't, it's hard for me to wrap my head around it. The kid should be healthy. The kid is 20 years old. You know what I used to do when I was 20 years old? Everybody here has been 20 years old. Most of our listeners are 20 and older. Mm-hmm. They understand what the body feels like. I mean, you go to the park, man, you may play for 5-6 hours. You mean to tell me that this kid, this professional athlete that we touted that coming back looking like a Hercules when he came back, like, oh, Zion took the layoff seriously. He can't play down the last 7-19 down the stretch. You can't depend on him to come in and say give you something in a tight game. He can't come in fresh after sitting down for 5 minutes, 19 seconds and come in and give you a spark, give you some winning plays, give you some effort plays, give you some isolation plays, give you some hustle plays. Like, what are we saying? And if that's the case, why in the hell did we make the field 22 when we could have went straight to playoffs? We wanted to see Zion versus LeBron in the first round.
Versus
that's why,
everybody.
Right, but mainly against LeBron because we want to see the old with the new. We want to see the passing of the torch of maybe one of the most electrifying talents in the game. Yeah, he has a lot of polish, a lot of dullness. Right, he needs to be polished. He needs some refinement. But remember, that's what LeBron was. LeBron couldn't shoot a jumper when he first came in. Everybody was playing off of him. I remember him passing the ball to Danielle Marshall in Winning Time because he wasn't confident in his game. He wasn't confident in his shot. But he was fun to watch. He was electrifying. He was playing above the rim. He had a little bit more skill set than Zion. But Zion, I feel like the playoffs were set up so Zion can entertain. Are you not entertained? That's what he was here for, to boost the ratings right out the gate. Round one, you got LeBron. And remember the matches when we saw them during the year. We saw LeBron guarding Zion. Mm-hmm. We saw Zion, you know, with the bully ball. Like, LeBron's probably one of the only people that can match him physically, that can stand up to him if you want to play bully ball in the bottom. And we are getting robbed by that because Alvin Gentry thinks that a 20-year-old needs a rest. Come on, man. This has to be a joke. This is crazy, man. Load management for a freaking 20-year-old that should be able to run all day. Listen, when I showed up to the field when I was 20, I didn't even stretch.
Here's the reality behind all of it. All right, Zion, you remember, had a knee issue.
How long ago was that?
That was back in training camp. Oh, at the end of training camp, if you remember, it was a knee issue. They had to clean it out. So he missed a lot. He only, what did he play, 37 games? That's 38 games for him so far as a rookie. So he missed a majority of his rookie season. There was always talk about his conditioning, that he is just so much bigger and stronger than anybody his age, that he dominated high school and college just mainly because he was just so damn strong. And he has that incredible leaping ability. But in the man's game, where you got to run and you got to defend and you got to keep jumping, that, you know, conditioning is a huge part of what you're doing, and could they get him where he needed to be? And that continues to be a question. It's not Alvin Gentry that is the one deciding that he shouldn't play. It's Pelicans medical people who are looking at Zion saying, we got to control his minutes. They were using the excuse that, remember, he left the bubble because of a family emergency. And then he came back, and he had to quarantine, of course. And so what they're trying to suggest is, oh, well, you know, he might, you know, he's not really in shape yet. And that then now shuts down all of that once again. And this is, you know, I love the NBA, but this is what I hate about the NBA, and it's the media. It's the coverage of certain players and certain things that they overhype it. Like that one photo that they showed us on the first day of Pelicans practice, there's Zion wearing a mask. And he's just twisting a certain way, and he just looked jacked and thin, right? And it was like, oh, look at Zion. He's bad. Look at, he spent the quarantine. He spent the shutdown getting himself in shape. He heard everybody calling him fat. When you watched him on the court last night, what did he look like? He looked like the exact same player he was. Dynamic moments where he can out-muscle, out-power, out-jump his one-on-one matchup. Right, that he had those moments, and yet also I saw a guy that at 20 was getting beat up the floor by guys older than him.
Yeah,
getting beat up the floor older than him, and then they were limiting his minutes. They were giving him like hockey shifts, 35, 45 seconds. Like it felt like he was on the court for like 2 minutes, and he's off the court again. So all right, just hang on. So here's Alvin Gentry after the game. And everybody is watching. We're all watching it going, yo, you guys need to win this game. He didn't play the last 5 minutes. How are you not playing this guy in the last 5 minutes of a game you really do need to win? Here's Alvin Gentry on why, on him feeling like, wishing he could play Zion more.
We wish we could have played him down the stretch, but, you know, he had used the minutes that was given to us. So, you know, that's just, you know, that's the way it is. I mean, we weren't going to stick him back out there. You know, our medical people said that we played him in the minutes that was allowed us to play him, and you know, we'll just move on. I thought he looked good. I thought he had some good moments. And obviously, you know, we're much better and a much different basketball team when he's out on the floor.
Look, he played 15 minutes. And, of course, the numbers in those 15 minutes, 13 points on 6 of 8.
I just saw a steal shot. He looking, thick.
And zero like rebounds. Zero rebounds, by the way. And a minus 16 in those 15 minutes. I mean, you know, so while he was productive offensively, there's a lot of issues, man.
He looking thick, bro. Like, yo, I just saw a steal shot. He looking like Booger Jr. right there, man.
Booger McFarland?
Yeah, he looking like Booger Jr., man.
That's,
this is the problem, right? He's going to have to make a decision. If he's going to be able to live up to the expectations, it's going to be because he gets it in shape and makes a decision. Remember how Draymond looked when he came in the league? And remember what Draymond looked like his second and third year after he put in that work, became a professional? He's going to have to make that decision, or he's going to be a supernova. He's going to be something that was beautiful to watch, but it ain't going to last for a long time. And listen, if he has to understand, this is a part of being held accountable to your teammates. You can't be the leader if you're the fat dude. I mean, yeah, we saw Shaq doing it, but really was Shaq the leader, or was Kobe the leader after a couple of years? Yeah, Shaq was the best player, but, you know, people follow Kobe because you got to be a professional all day.
Yeah, you can't. That's a great analogy, and here's why it's a great analogy. Because it's hard to follow the work habits of someone who has, like, who's gifted physically and can get away with things. How do you follow someone like that that isn't, you know, as regimented as somebody like Kobe was?
Yeah.
Right? That isn't as regimented as players like that, where you're like, well, wait a minute. You really don't like have a diet, and you don't really do a lot of work after practice, but yet you're so strong, bigger than everybody, and you can jump over everyone. Mm-hmm. How do I follow those work habits? So you really can't be a leader. All you can do is just be great for your team. But at least Shaq, when he was 20, played, the whole damn game and destroyed people.
Yeah, he ran Zion, the court,
like, so what the Pelicans are telling us, Bart, hey, by the way, like, we're calling it load management. We're saying this, but in reality, kid's not in good shape.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they're telling us. He's not in good shape. And then that now tells us that the NBA should have never opened this up to 22 teams. This is a complete waste of time. Because on the night you open your league, you have this kid here for a reason,
you got
and they're not
attention.
Playing him.
You got everybody's attention. Everybody's watching to see, oh, man, let's see what Zion's going to do. Let's see if Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert has a little friction between the two, right? And he had an opportunity to steal the show in a meaningful game, make his claim for Rookie of the Year. I mean, there's just certain guys that you feel like you can't trust.
Oh, stop. Rookie of the Year, get that out now. Look, tell you what, 4 o'clock today, John Morant plays. And he plays against the Blazers. He plays against Damian Lillard and the Blazers.
Yeah.
And that is must watch. You want to see a rookie who's going to play because his team needs to win, and he knows it. He feels like they stacked the chips against his team. He's like, why do we have all these other teams now? We were the 8th seed.
Yeah, they got the hardest
schedule. We did what we were supposed to do. And now we got to fight off all these other teams now? That's not fair for 8 games?
We got the hardest schedule going back. Yeah. Zion got the easiest one. Like, hold up, man. Like, listen, y'all don't want
– So let me say this. And you can attack me all you want. I don't care. 800-919-3776. What I watched last night and what I know about Ja Morant tells me this. If you're a Knicks fan, don't cry about missing out on Zion anymore.
Yeah.
Cry about missing out on Ja Morant. So you got the 3rd pick and you got RJ Barrett, who's a nice player.
Yeah.
But you missed the best player in the draft by 1 pick, not 2.
Yeah.
Finishing first actually wouldn't have been the savior you thought. But Ja Morant, that kid with his motor and his talent, he's the Steph Curry that you missed out on.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you right now, that's what happened here. I'm watching this and I'm saying to myself, well, first of all, if he was on the Knicks wouldn't have been playing in the 22 anyway, so he wouldn't have he'd get all the load management he wants. But the more you look at this, the more it tells me that Ja Morant's the guy you missed out on. And you'll look back on this draft years from now, and that's what you'll say. That's the Steph Curry.
Yes.
Not Zion.
Yeah, but he's going to win Rookie of the Year. And
by one pick again.
Yeah. I want a Ja all the way. You know what I mean? Because I love guys that come from small schools. That was the conference I played against, Murray State. Kyle Korver, you know, all those guys, man. Those are guys that I saw on a regular basis. You know, I just think that he's superiorly talented, and he's a position of need. He's that guard you need. He's, to me, a more refined Russell Westbrook. He's so explosive. You saw everybody talk about Zion's athleticism. This kid is athletic, and he is a competitor. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He didn't get that silver spoon handed to him, man. He's a guy that had to work and grind to get national attention. And when he got that attention, he took advantage of it.
Yep.
Zion, man, I feel like he got too much cruise control in him, man. And when you struggle when you're 20 to control your weight, if you don't get that in control in year one, year two, it's going to be something that, you know, that's
think about it. He had 4 months off where he could have been all in on, I'm going to change my body.
Carmelo at 45 years old has always been considered a guy that was a little out of shape, a little chunky, and he came back looking like vegan warrior, you know what I'm saying? And then now you look at a 20-year-old, look like he went out and he was eating po' boys all day, going to the original Popeyes all while he was in New Orleans. And like, listen, it ain't going to end well unless he takes it seriously. And listen, they need to hold him accountable.
I don't get it. Yeah, I just don't understand. They're treating with kid gloves for a reason. There has to be a reason, and it can't be the injury, because that was a long time ago. It can't be that. It can't be anything more than, hey everybody, we can't say it publicly, but the kid's not in shape.
I wonder what
he's not
weighs.
In shape. He's not in game shape.
I wonder if we can get a leak what he weighs. Because he's a guy that's going to have a weight attached to his contracts and his bonus. And I know in football they can do that. I know in basketball they don't. You know what I mean? In football, like, you got to weigh in every Friday. And if you ain't in your weight, then that's you know, you got to do extra conditioning, or that's potential grounds for a fine.
Yeah. 800-919-3776. Let's see what the people think. Let's go with Jimmy in Staten Island to start us off. Jimmy.
Yo, fellas, it's always a pleasure to talk to you guys, man.
Likewise.
I'm glad to speak to you guys. First things first, I just want to say, man, it was an amazing, amazing feeling just to see the NBA back on again, just to have something to watch. I know you guys can attest to that.
I agree. Just to see the game back, and they were good games. They were good finishes, too.
Amazing finishes.
Yes. LeBron, and Kawhi definitely lived up to the expectations. But I wanted to talk about Zion, and I mean, you pretty much said everything. You pretty much touched the topic. I honestly think that Zion's gonna have to cut that weight down, and I want to see him progress. I want to see him become the player that we all think he could be. But I think that you know, New Orleans, they're gonna have to come up with some type of plan to keep that, you know, to keep him, because if you watch his game, he's a very explosive guy, but all his points come from the paint. You understand? Like, and he kind of reminds me of like a yes, and he kind of reminds me of Blake. But if you look at Blake, his game got a lot better when he became an All-Star, when that year after USA, when he worked on his jump shot. You understand?
And what else though? What else helped him though? Chris Paul. The arrival of a point guard to get him in position and put him in the right places. I think it helped when they got Chris Paul. He changed as a player as well. But you're not wrong, though. Jimmy, it's an interesting comparison, though, Jimmy. It really is. The Blake Griffin one here.
I think that he has the point guard. I think because Lonzo's not a bad guy. Lonzo had about 6 to 7 assists yesterday, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I'm not comparing it to Zion. I'm saying with Blake. Blake, you could tell, because Blake wasn't really a great guy like that you could play through, and the Pistons are learning that right now. He's a great player.
Yeah.
But he's, you know, and thanks for the call, Jimmy. But I just feel like for Zion right now, first of all, Blake was always in great shape, though. Wasn't a guy that would get tired easy.
His workouts was legendary with that hill work with the trainer from Oklahoma, them sand dunes they had him working on.
Him and
on.
His brother, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's always been in great shape. But that's part of being a professional, man. And that stopped a lot of guys from reaching their talent level or how great they can be. I just hope Zion isn't one of them. You know what I mean? If you, like I said, I go back to Draymond. Draymond was chubby when he got in the league. And he couldn't be a professional. And even last year when he said, you know, like during the break, he had to lose 15 pounds because they tell you, hey, man, you're fat. Just think, that was 20 pounds, you know, before what he came in the league with.
Yeah.
You know, so Zion's going to have to figure, you know, all that explosiveness. When I see Zion, it always makes me think about Derrick Rose. It makes me think about Russell Westbrook. You know, they're one play from blowing a knee out or twisting an ankle or hurting something because they put so much torque on their body. Mm-hmm. And the more weight you have on it, the more those knees are exposed, the more those ankles are exposed, the more that Achilles is exposed. And I'm just concerned with the kid.
I'm sorry. I'm just waiting for the day that we can see Zion play a full game. You know, like, just put him out there.
48 minutes. It's 48
like,
minutes.
Just, well, I mean, just still, but 30-something minutes. Like, just play a full game. Let's go. Like, especially now. You've had 5 months off, and your team is playing for the playoffs. What are you doing? Daniel in Westchester. Daniel.
Guys, how's it going, guys? First time caller, long time listener. Just want to push back on one thing you guys said about Zion coming up on a silver spoon. It's actually incorrect. He was coming from a very small high school in South Carolina with minimal national recognition. He was the second guy to L.J. Barrett at Duke his first year there.
Yeah,
and
but
he had
hold
to prove
up.
Himself.
Before you go, I mean, I'm talking about Zion was always been in the national spotlight. He's always been in the national spotlight.
Yeah, they were talking about him when he was a junior.
Yeah, I mean, I remember seeing highlights of him when he was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was
nobody was giving Ja's dad $400,000.
Exactly.
He had to prove himself there.
What I'm saying is in comparison to Ja, who was at a mid-major, right, who was at Murray State. Well, that's when I say I had to work for it, that's what I mean. I'm talking about the difference in paths, right? Everybody knew Zion was going number one. Ja had to put himself on a national platform, get in the tournament, show that he was explosive, show that he was a great player. You know, that's what I'm saying. I don't even know if Ja really even had a scholarship for basketball when he first came out. You know, I forgot that story when they did the feature on him.
Well, the scout wasn't even watching him for him.
Right.
He was walking around. He was going to get a drink of water, and he was watching on
an
offside court where Ja was playing, and he was killing it. And he's like, who is this kid? That's literally how he was found.
Yeah.
So. It was like that. It wasn't like he was – and he played on the same AAU team as – I mean, they were teammates, he and Zion, yeah. like at times.
Yeah.
But it just – you know, it took him a little longer. But it doesn't matter about where you – the background, all that stuff. What matters now is they're both in the NBA. Who's the more effective player and who's the one – like, again, it's like a stock. If you were going to put your money into one of these stocks – and which one would have the high, like, you know, has the higher ceiling? Which one is the one that might, like, I feel some stocks are volatile. Some stocks have a chance to make you a ton of money, but could also fizz out fast and you could lose money.
Yeah.
Then there's others that you know will be just that consistent moneymaker every year. So if you're going to put your money into one of these stocks, is it Ja or is it Zion? Because as I said it before, I'll say it again. If you're a Knicks fan and you were like, oh my God, we lost out on Zion. I was one of those guys. I was there. Yeah. You heard me on the lottery night. I was devastated.
Well, there it is.
Yeah.
Did he really just say?
Major disappointment.
So you get R.J. Barrett, and I don't think that's a major disappointment. I love R.J. But people were like, oh, my God, they missed out on Zion.
Yeah.
But now are we looking back saying, no, maybe they missed out on Ja Morant more than they missed out on Zion.
So I guess you just posed our question for the day for our listeners, right?
Yes,
we
did.
Who stock are you buying?
Right.
Ja or Zion?
Right. Put your money down. You have to do it now. Not what you know, you can't take it back. Who are you putting your money into right now as a stock? Yeah, I was starting trouble. I mean, you watched the games last night. The NBA was back in action, and they opened up with the Jazz and the Pelicans. And, oh, by the way, for a minute I got excited, Bart, because Donovan Mitchell had on his sneakers ready for change. I was like, yes, Donovan. Come home, Donovan. And then I realized that that's actually a thing on everybody's sneakers. It has more to do with social issues than it does my personal
thirsty
Knicks issues. Where but for a minute, I was like, oh, is that a message? But you know what? He played nice with Rudy on the court. But it wasn't like they were like all – it wasn't all love, man.
Yeah,
like, you know, it was just business.
I ain't seen no special handshake like LeBron got with all his people. Even the dude with that never take out their warm-ups, LeBron got a little handshake with him. Like, man, come on, man. First
by the
of all,
way,
we're supposed to be socially distant. Why are we doing all this hand stuff?
The messages on the back of the jerseys, you know, are good to see. You know, everybody has their different messages. But it doesn't help when, like, you know, the 12th man comes in and you're like, who the hell is that? I don't even know his name.
Right.
You know, Caruso. like his name is Peace. Is that meta?
Yeah, for real. Caruso is the funniest, man, because, like, he needs to just make a decision, man. Like, he got all these peninsulas on his head. You know what I mean? He need to, like, man, cut a peninsula off, man.
He's got the globe before plate tectonics. Is that what it is? Like,
he got
what the earth looked like before all the continents broke away.
He got Florida here. He got the edge of Maine on the top of his hairline. It's like, bro, man, just cut this stuff off, man, and figure it out.
His hairline
Erlacher.
His hairline looks like Canada.
Yeah, man. Like, bro. but I tell you what,
Sideburns,
man.
Sideburns, Nova Scotia.
He made some winning plays, though, man. That's still at the end.
He's a
where
smart
he, where he deflected and threw it out. Yeah. You know what I mean? I thought he'd be a better free throw shooter, and it's not because he's white. I just thought he'd be better at the free throw.
Yeah, what is that supposed to mean?
But I tell you what, man.
Free throw shooter?
But I tell you what. Tell you what, it was impressive to see not LeBron and his greatness, but Anthony Davis and his greatness. Like, people always want to say, oh, LeBron is the engine, but I think Anthony Davis is what makes his team special. And trying to watch Joakim Noah keep up with him, it just shows you the evolution of the big – but it shows you the evolution of the big man, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're used to seeing Anthony Davis and what he does, but then when you put him against the older version of what he is, he's like the last Terminator, and like all the other guys, that's his height, his size, his speed is like the old one. He's the new one. You know what I mean? Because you look at Joakim Noah, he just don't have the skill set. You look at Dwight Howard, same height. It's a totally different person.
No. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So it's like T2 versus T.
Yeah.
Millennium.
But is he as good as? But in your eyes, is he as good as Bol Bol? That's the question.
I don't know. That's tough, man. Bol Bol is coming, man. Listen, man. I can't wait.
It's irrational how much you love Bol Bol. It makes no sense.
Yo, that, listen. It's like it's crazy when you see somebody doing something that you don't expect them to do anything. First of all, you judging them like Billy Hoyle, right? You judge him on his dad. You expect him to be like Taco, right? Like, no matter what, when you put him and Taco next to each other, you're like, okay, they probably the same player. No, this dude is a unicorn, man. This dude is the African Porzingis, man. You know what I'm saying? If let me tell you something. If Porzingis is the unicorn, then Kevin Durant need to name him the White Rhino. He's the White Rhino, man, because this dude is going to be special. And if we talk about all the people in the steals of the draft, Bol Bol's going to end up in it. If he can keep his feet healthy, because you always get worried about big man and their feet.
Yep.
And he can stay away from injuries because he got a lot of finesse to his game. He ain't really supposed to be doing that. He is fun and special to watch. And I hope the Nuggets give him some time to play. No, don't just say, okay, we're going to play on the exhibition. I want to see that three-center lineup.
No, they're going to try to use
see how that works.
Yeah, Denver does not play today. The Nets do, though. 2:30, they tip off against the Magic.
Who the hell's
and
on the Nets?
Again, that's a 7 and 8 seeds right there. So for both teams, these are important.
Should that be
Jamal's not playing. Our buddy Jamal, he's not ready yet.
Oh man, so I'm saying should that be the poll of the day? Like, we give our callers like a $50 gift card.
Can you name more than two net players?
No, I won't because they'll finally figure out five. I want name seven. If you can name seven, we should get them like a gift card.
How about
to,
this?
Like,
oh no, here
a
you
gift
go.
Card to Dunkin' Donuts.
Can you name the seven players who will definitely be in the rotation?
Exactly.
Seven guys who will play rotation minutes in today's game.
Exactly.
Right? Like, can you do it? Seven net play, not off the roster, because we know the guys. There's a ton of guys who aren't dressing or aren't playing, right, who aren't there. But seven players who actually will play in Jacques Vaughn's rotation today. Seven, and you have to nail all seven. They should put that in the Last Man Standing on K Show.
Exactly.
That would be a great one for the K Show. But by then, the Nets will already been playing, so people will know. Again, 800-919-3776. Phone lines are filling up, so we will get to those in a minute. But just want to point out again that Laker Clipper game last night, which was the later game, and it was a compelling ending. Paul George had 30. He made a bunch of threes late. He made a huge three late. But you talked about what Anthony Davis did. And Anthony Davis went for 34, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, all right, in 35 minutes, by the way. And he was 16 of 17 from the free throw line. You mentioned Joakim Noah, who was guarding him off the bench. Joakim had 4 fouls in 10 minutes. That was me at post.
and one steal. He got one steal because he's swinging for the fences, man. I tell you what, another crazy
thing. That's my college line. 2 blocks, 5 fouls, 10 minutes.
Alan Hahn is a sweet jumper.
And occasionally I hit a jumper. Yeah, that's true. Zubac had 4 fouls. Like, he was getting everybody in foul trouble. Michael Green couldn't guard anybody. He had 5 fouls. Like, it was just...
Man, he was just turning the ball over. I wanted to punch him in the face. He got a soft body, too. You look at him and Waiters, they're like they're retaining water, man. You expect
Waiters professors. looks like a guy named Chu playing in a men's league.
But he put up buckets, though. Like, how about
look at that body.
How about JR coming in and getting a foul before the play was even inbounded? Like, like that's the most. Is that the Eight most minutes. JR thing? To, is that like the most JR thing to do? Like,
yeah, Deion had 11. Foul. It was plus 17. Yeah. All right,
that's what I'm saying. Deion was doing the same, but JR yeah. Smith gets a foul before the ball's even thrown in play.
It doesn't matter. I promise JR is going to have one game where it's like JR goes for like 28 and hits a bunch of threes. I promise you, JR is going to have that game. That guy, like, he's the guy that just walks out on the floor and he doesn't need to stretch and he can put points on you on a given day.
He's everything that Trier hopes to be. Is J.R. Smith? He wants to be
again. That's another guy.
That's a good confidence.
J.R.'s a better shooter.
But you can become J.R. Smith. That should be his goal, to become J.R. Smith without the hiccups. But I ask you this too, and I'll ask the fans this. Now we saw Anthony Davis yesterday, because I think we forgot who Anthony Davis really was, because he didn't play for the Pelicans last year. He was trying to get traded. Giannis, Anthony Davis, you start your franchise with.
See, that's the other
question. Who you got?
Giannis, if you had to now start your franchise.
Start
one
your
of these
franchise.
Two,
Giannis or Anthony Davis? Who you take?
Because they're both relatively the same. AD's 27. I know Giannis got to be like 20, what, 25? So they're relatively in the same realm of age. Who you start your franchise with? I'll go with the guy that can shoot.
Yeah, I'm going with AD all day. I'm going with AD. I think people forgot who AD was. That's a bad man.
He looked scary. He looked scary last night.
And I hope they lose to the Clippers so that he can
By the way, the Clippers were without Lou Williams, and they were without
Harris. Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot of production. And they only lost
36
by two.
That's 36 points.
Yeah, and they only lost by two. So the Clippers still, to me, are the team to be. All right, 800-919-3776. Let's get Tess in West Caldwell in here. Tess.
Let's go. You already know what
Ronnie
it
is back.
Listen, Alan, you already know I love you, but today this got to be Bart, because at the end of the day, Bart going to have to go to fire prevention classes, because I'm coming with everything today. The garbage.
I already know everything,
because you know what, Bart, just like how you backpedaled a little earlier with Zion, you're going to backpedal with LeBron. Listen, yesterday, this was, I was thinking about that. I was so impressed with LeBron. At the end of the game, he's guarding the
that
best,
defense,
too, because you know, you a hater, Bart. You a hater. He did everything yesterday. He was complete yesterday. He was guarding Paul George. He shut Kawhi down so many times yesterday. Yes. The claw.
So many times. What about?
Say nothing.
Kawhi had 28.
Kawhi had 28. What are you talking about, Tez?
When it counted, he shut him down. At the end of the game, who went for the shot? Paul George. You know why? Because he ran into that man. He ran into that king. What'd he do? He tossed that ball right over to Paul George, and then that's when Paul George says, oh, he fouled me. Whatever. All I know is LeBron was playing D. He was playing offense. Yes, he had a slow start. He had to change his sneakers. Give him a break. Knock off. You know what I'm saying? But all I'm saying is that he had a slow start, but he still is that man.
He played defense one possession.
Bart, he had one possession.
The claw was locking LeBrick down all game.
No, he
turned
was
it
not.
Off.
Yo, I'm going to be honest with you. Honestly, Kawhi looked real lost yesterday. I don't know if his braids was too tight because they was freshly done.
Well, you know they got to loosen up. First of all, Kawhi always looks lost. He always got that dumbfounded look, like he same face. He got the Eli face. That's how he rolled up.
Like, are you thirsty? But all I know is this. LeBron, he played good yesterday, and I know you was going to be a hater, but he was playing D. He was doing
great passing. He wanted the win. You could see it. He was getting himself ready.
So, he got that W. That's all that count. Tessa,
are you putting your money on them versus the Clippers in the finals? Should I add you to the Chris Canty?
Lakers in six. That's what I'm telling you right now. I don't want to go to seven. I'm going to keep it real. But Lakers in six, if they go against the Clippers, I'm telling you now, with Lou Williams and his wings on, I don't care who they got on the thing.
Oh, yeah. Lou Williams going to bring the wings.
J.R. is their type, that he will come in and be a silent killer. So I'm not even worried. Lakers in six, if they go against the Clippers. But the Clippers might not even.
I love it.
You taking J.R. Over Sweet Lou? No. You taking Waiters over Sweet Lou? No.
Oh, this is too good, man.
Listen.
This is too good. We got to find when we hook up for lunch in Jersey, we got to go find us.
We better hope that Waiters don't get the munchies and go around and get some edibles and don't show up to the game. End up in Magic Kingdom and have to mess around in quarantine. You know what I'm saying? He mess around get a hold of some edibles up in that thing. He mess around and be on Dumbo like, huh? I got a game.
All right,
I got a game.
Speaking of ready, Marley Rivera reporting that Aroldis Chapman has been cleared to return to the Yankees. That's according to a source telling ESPN. The Yankees, remember, placed Chapman on the COVID-19 IL July 11th. Reports are saying that he has since now cleared a couple of tests, so he has gotten through the virus. Good news, the Yankees get back their closer. That, of course, bullpen has been a bit of a concern only because yesterday, Aaron Boone, when asked about Tommy Kahnle and his availability, as you know, you had the rain delay come back. Johnny Lasagna not great when he was pitching. They did hold on thanks to Aaron Judge with a big blast late. But Booney here on Tommy Kahnle with a follow-up, a little bit of a concern. Take a listen.
No, Tommy wasn't available tonight, so you know, we're going to go with low there and try and get it to Britt. If you know, I was probably willing to go to a four-out save there with Britt if, you know, it got down to Smith, but you know, wanted to ride low through that inning.
Is Kahnle okay?
We'll have something on that tomorrow.
Ominous, Bart. We'll have something on that tomorrow. That was Meredith Marakovich with the follow-up. That is, to me, alarming, because we'll have something on that tomorrow. Is it terrible that I'd rather it be like he's got elbow soreness than that he tested positive?
Yeah.
How bad is that? That I'd rather him have like an arm issue than the virus? Because the virus only means like, okay, could now there be something happening with the Yankees like we're seeing with the Phillies, the Marlins, and now the Cardinals.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's a tough one. But, yeah, you're almost wishing that is that is.
I hate saying that. Right.
Going away, yeah. But that's just where we are, because we know we're towing a fine line between shutting down, as the Marlins will have like 20-something people in their organization that has it now out of the 33 that's traveling. You know, I mean, Project Wolverine, man, need to get some healing going on or something. I don't know what they're doing, burn some sage or something. But, you know, it's good to have Chapman back. I think that settles everybody down.
And Britton's been very good, though, in that role, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that may be Britton's role, because I think it isn't Chapman coming up on a contract. And that's where Britton moves, you know, back to his natural position as the natural closer.
All right. Well, we have more on closers.
Maybe they'll take Diaz.
Well, we have a heel be part.
Right?
Yeah. No, we've got him and other things coming up now in Blitz or Prevent.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
All right. Let's begin in the NFL. LeSean McCoy, a one-year deal with the Bucs. Said he wanted to return to Philly, but he winds up in Tampa to be part of Brady Mania. And his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, said that he's very excited to play with established vets like Brady and Gronk trying to win another championship. Blitzer Prevent, Bart, if you play fantasy football, you should pick up Shady.
You know, I mean, I think Shady kind of gets overlooked sometimes in the greatness type category. People don't realize what his resume looks like. I mean, he took over and became like a better version of Michael Westbrook. Brian Westbrook in
Brian
between
Westbrook,
the tackles.
Yeah.
You talk about what he's accomplished in his career. I think, you know, last year he really didn't, you know, you think when Andy Reid gives up on you, decides to go with Williams, that maybe you've lost a step. But maybe he has, but he still has a lot of football in him. He's smart. He's tough in between the tackles.
Bowl, right?
Yeah, and he's tremendous as far as the catch and the run after the catch. You know, and he still has a lot to offer. He's going to get more opportunities because of the weapons that he's going to play with. And Brady's a guy that always utilizes the check down to his back. You think about what he did with White. You think what he used to do all the way back with Kevin Falk. You know, I think he'll use Shady in that regard, keep him on a pitch count. And I think, yeah, I would pick him up in fantasy because I feel like he's going to be picking up a lot of big plays. He's going to
wrap it up, a two-minute
situation. Shady's, you know, landed on his feet, put a cherry on top of a Hall of Fame career. And I don't think people realize that he's a Hall of Famer, over 10,000 yards rushing.
Almost at 12, actually, yeah. All right, so speaking of two-minute warning here. SEC presidents and chancellors on Thursday approved a 10-game conference-only football schedule for the fall, beginning in late September. Now, they had to do this because of the impact, obviously, of the pandemic. And so now it increases to the SEC's usual conference slate of 8 league games, which includes 6 divisional foes and all that other stuff. And you also have, like, cross-divisional stuff. But it's going conference only now, which means no rivalry games. You're not going to see crossovers, ACC, none of that stuff. So Blitz or Prevent, if we do have college football, with conference-only schedules now, How do we come up with a national champion?
Are we going back to the old electoral system? You know, strength of schedule. You know, see who wins. Who is, it won't be no head-to-heads. I think this is not going to be a national. I don't think this is going to be like a national champion. I think a lot of the top prospects are going to opt out of playing this season. Because if I'm Lawrence, if I'm some of these top players, I'm just going to go to these training facilities in a controlled environment and get better at my craft. Whether if I'm Lawrence, I'm calling Palmer up early, calling Sanchez up early, and I'm going to their camps. And I'm getting ready for what I'm going to have to see in the pros as far as getting ready scholastically on the board and making sure that I don't put myself at risk. Because now you ask yourself, what are you putting yourself at risk for? If you're already the highest rated, one of the top rated players in your position, then it behooves you to even put yourself at risk, because all you can do is hurt your stock, not improve it. Where it's going to hurt is the guys that are in the middle rounds that wanted to use this season as an opportunity to show the progress they've made and make that jump. Just think, last year, Burrow wouldn't even have been a draftable player until he had the best season that he ever had and became the number one overall pick.
It's going to be interesting to see what even happens with college football, no question. All right, last but not least, and this is a topic we'll probably have to carry over now in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll get a lot of baseball in the 2 o'clock hour. Edwin Diaz is a mess, okay? Appeared for the first time since he blew the save against Atlanta. So he comes in the ninth last night. The Mets are down one. Holds it, right? Just kind of keep him in it. 34 pitches. I mean, he couldn't throw a damn strike. He was a disaster. I just walking people, hitting people, bases loaded, all that stuff. Rojas comes in. He has to take him out. And then afterwards, he says a different Diaz than what I saw in camp, showing a lot of concern about him, that they got to work on it and fix it. They also think that it's not just mechanics, that it's something going on in his head. Blitz of Prevent, Bart. Brody has to own this, has to own it as a mistake and move on. You got Dellin Betances. He could be a closer. Do not waste another minute.
It's so tough, man, because this is pressure on Brody. How much of this coming from Brody? Because Brody knows that he's going to be stuck with pie on his face with Cano, who shouldn't be at second base. McNeil should be at second base. And now you've given away our prospect that is sitting up hitting bombs in the Mariners. He's out there hitting bombs. Yeah, consider them got. And the only way he can fix this is hope that Dellin Betances can get back to his form and become a closer. Because, I mean, listen, when you're a closer, is giving up a touchdown plus an extra point, that's what his ERA is, then it's time to move on, and he may have to go into that list of Sonny Grays, of people that may be able to be at a pitch, but you just can't pitch here. The lights are too bright, and the apple is too cold.
Nobody in the building. It's a virtual crowd. All right,
we watching, though. He know we watching. Yeah, and he know we talking.
He can hear you even though you're not there. Quickly here, Forbes has released their annual list of most valuable sports teams. So, Bart, in North America, the richest team or the most valuable sports franchise is an NFL team. And it's very obvious that it'd be the Dallas Cowboys. They are now at $5.5 billion.
Jerry's World.
And you said something really interesting to me about how they control all of their... Is it their
rights, marketing rights? Like, if you ever noticed,
they're licensing.
They're licensing. Yeah, you'll never see them on a commercial with other like NFL teams. You only see them exclusively with themselves. Jerry did that very early. He don't like to share with others. So he's like, listen, y'all run y'all stuff. I don't need no community stuff. I don't need no money from y'all collectively.
Yeah, the Star is a brand unto itself.
Yeah, it's on my own brand. He's a tremendous businessman. And it's funny, oddly enough, is Snyder's never too far behind as far as you know. Out there in Washington, that team used to be worth a whole lot as well. It looked like NASCAR strapped on. I don't know what it is now, but it used to be up there in the top 10. And it's funny how when you think about some of the most valuable franchises, ain't won something in a long time.
Yeah, well, there's the Cowboys. There's one. Number two would be the Yankees. Talk about another brand, right? The NY. I mean, that's a brand. Yeah. And they are at $5 billion. So they're a $500 million in value below the Cowboys. They're in New York. They're the Yankees. Yeah. That's a worldwide iconic brand, the Yankees, right? And they're not as valuable as the Cowboys. Why? Because of Jerry World. That stadium.
Yeah, that stadium, man. I mean, you can't compare Yankee Stadium. I mean, it's triple the capacity. It got the roof on it. And you got to think how much it even costs to even construct it, right? I mean, you down there. I mean, what's so depressing is that Jerry's World and MetLife cost roughly about the same to bill. One looks like a toaster.
Don't get me started.
And then the other one looks like a like.
Don't get me started.
Like never.
Everybody knows how I feel about MetLife. I've talked about it a million times.
That's the best at two.
Outside my house, I have three of those HVAC compressors. Right, you know them that are outside. The blowers, whatever they are, MetLife State. That's what it looks like. I look at that and I'm like, yeah, that's MetLife. It looks just like that. Like, what were we thinking? What were we thinking about this nondescript football stadium, which is essentially what it is? No character, no nothing. And it's New York. Are you no dome, no roof, nothing. Like, what are we doing?
And they say,
and the surrounding area, I know that they're still trying to figure out the whole Xanadu thing, and that I've seen it being built, and everybody's telling me how great it is, but it's not anything like Patriot Place. Nothing like that. What crafted up there is pure brilliance. And I still can't believe the Patriots aren't in the top five, by the way, of most valuable sports teams. How? So, we move on. Number three is an NBA team. And this is one that gets everybody to go, what?
The Lakers?
No, the Knicks.
Way to get them, Dolan.
And by the way, the Knicks not only are the third most valued franchise in North America, they are just slightly behind the Yankees. $400 million behind the Yankees.
Wow.
And now $400 million, that's a lot of money. I get it. It's Mike Trout. But it's the fact that if the Knicks ever did any kind of winning. Any kind of winning.
Now, they do have two teams.
Would they beat the Cowboys as the most valuable? Because it's just like the Cowboys. The building helps them. Having the garden, that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
So if the Knicks did, if Tom Thibodeau, and they get a couple, and they turn this thing into where they're just like the 90s, they're always in the playoffs. They're like the last, always a top four seed. I don't even think, look, don't even win a championship. Just be there every year consistently. Would they move past the Cowboys? Because they're basically less than a billion below the Cowboys.
And just think if Quinn and the Rangers start winning. I mean, that thing will rock out.
Well, hockey valuation is a completely different animal,
Yeah, I mean, this is just – I mean, and that's what's so – like, that's what's so discouraging, right? Because the fan base supports no matter what. Blind trust, blind faith. The Garden, you can't tell if the Knicks are like 20 games below 500 or 20 games above 500.
Packed, baby.
It's still going to be packed, and it's going to be hype.
We're
and it's going to be entertaining. Yeah.
It's basketball. It'd be cold. It's cold. I got to go.
And it's just like one of those things. And like, hopefully that is the case, and we can see. We'll be evaluating this thing, in the next couple of years and see, hey, if the winning, what happens with it?
The last two of the top five, the Lakers, right behind the Knicks. At $4.4 billion. The Knicks are at $4.6 billion. And then the Golden State. So NBA teams make up three of the top five. Golden State Warriors at $4.3 billion. Again, brand new building. The Chase Center is unbelievable. Right there in San Francisco, so in a major market. And they've had great winning. They have marketable players. A lot about the Warriors to invest in. So there's that. Now, speaking of investing, again, jumping off what we said in the first hour, as we were talking about Zion and not playing at all, really barely last night, looking out of shape, looking winded, major concerns to me about him. And I said, maybe if you're a Knicks fan, you feel like you missed out more on Ja than you did on Zion. If you had to invest in a stock and one was Zion and one was Ja Morant, which are you putting your money into? That's a question. 800-919-3776. But on the baseball side of things, as we were talking about in Blitz or Prevent, and that is last night what happened to Edwin Diaz, which is another bad outing, another bad loss, by the way, for the Mets. I mean, another maddening loss where there's opportunity.
Two in a row.
The score and they cannot, and pitching fails them again.
And right now,
and you bring in Diaz in a situation where it wasn't a save situation, but it was one of those just let's get through this and get our bats going. And he comes in and he cannot throw a strike. He's hitting people, and you just Bart, you have had to see this on the faces of teammates before, where you look at them and you say to yourself, that guy is he's afflicted with doubt.
Yeah, he is.
He doesn't even trust in himself.
He's frozen. He don't believe in himself, and it's important for him to get ahead of the count, right? And he can't throw strikes, so he's getting behind the count. So then now he's throwing up these lollipops, you know what I'm saying, because he's behind in the count because he has no confidence in throwing any of his secondary stuff, and like – we thought that maybe a new manager, change of scenery, you know, new veterans around him, that maybe this would affect him and change him a little bit. And it's changing for the worse, man. And the last time we've seen this, we saw this with Sonny Gray. And some people just aren't built. We talked yesterday about Tom Thibodeau having blood on the ground, being from this area, understanding what it takes to be successful here. Diaz clearly isn't built for this type of scrutiny, isn't built for this
but
type of...
But there's no one in the building, Bart. You would think that... Remember we said who will benefit from not having fans in the building?
Yes.
I mean, Fox Sports, by the way, we'll get to that too. Like, I thought it was interesting to watch the game on Fox last night because they had so much extra put into the broadcast experience where you actually heard a Let's Go Mets chant. Like, you heard some pretty cool stuff that made the game feel compelling. There was a couple of moments that had tense moments, a big pitch, a big moment, and you felt it by just what you were hearing from whatever the crowd noise they were including. You know, that was a fun listen, and it's something that other sports, obviously, and other networks can pick up on. But Diaz doesn't hear any of that. Any of it. It's crickets for him. Why does he still feel pressure out there on the mound? It's got to be something internally. It's got to be something in his head.
Right, because sometimes the stillness forces you to think and talk to yourself. And because it's like, you know, I can only imagine as a pitcher, you have time to digest what you just did. Right? Sometimes when you're playing football, you just have to react. Basketball, you have to react. Baseball is thoughtful, right? You throw a pitch. You get the ball back. You're talking to your catcher about what to throw next, and you got no confidence. I would wonder and see how many times did he wave off Ramos, right? How many times did Ramos want something that he's afraid to throw because he has no confidence in it? Listen, this dude last year, after having an ERA over 5, is at a 7 ERA. That is unbelievable. I can't even believe that. Like, who is that the highest ERA in the history? Like, I mean, what are we talking about? And this is going to go down. This show's so bad on Brody. Brody went with one of his former clients saying, hey, I can convince everybody, hey, that I can get Cano and get him on a bad deal. But what made us digest and say, okay, you know what, we'll handle the Cano and what we're going to get if we get 1 or 2, maybe 3 years of good Cano? The fact that Diaz was an ace last year, and the fact that we understand and that we know that those aces and closers are hard to find. To find our Aroldis Chapman, man.
If Diaz, right,
you can't
Diaz
give him away.
Up,
you can't give him away.
Remember, it was 23 games they lost because of the bullpen last year. If Diaz came in and was just lights out, was good, you wouldn't care as much about the Cano situation.
Right.
But to me, Diaz being an absolute disaster only makes Cano even worse. Like, it makes it worse because, look, Robbie Cano. It's fine. Like, he's okay. But he should not be playing every day. He should not be playing second base. But where the hell else are you going to put him? And he's got to play.
Can't put him at first.
Well, he's got to play. And so, and he's, you know, he does have a bat, though, that occasionally you can use him like he did last night. He comes in, takes one pitch, makes a base hit. Okay, good. Take him out for a pinch runner, and you're all set. But I just, like, it makes it that much worse. And I think it was Jerry West and others I know have said this too. Think about when you're a GM is you cannot perpetuate a mistake by trying to ignore it or trying to make it work. Sometimes you just have to look and go, no, that was a mistake, and we cannot let this now sandbag our team. I have to own it, and we just have to move on from it. I don't know how you move on from Diaz. You've got to own. He's got to own this and admit it, that this was an absolute mistake, an absolute bust, and a major concern. Just take a listen to Rojas in the post game. Now, this is the Mets manager. He's been in the organization for a number of years, and he has spent time with Diaz. Okay, and he was very optimistic about what he saw in the spring training 2.0 when he was looking at him. And he felt like, you know what? I think he's going to be a lot better this year. I think he might have figured out, found whatever he had to find. Right? But now Rojas sounds completely different when he's talking about it. Take a listen.
We need to talk. We need to work. And, you know, that's something that we're going to do, you know, as a staff, me as the manager. And, you know, we'll talk with the player. And, you know, we want to keep him in track to what he showed us in camp. That he didn't show tonight. You know, we definitely, it's something that from our coaching standpoint, we got to detect right away, like we did, you know, from that outing, and just, you know, work on it, fix it quick. Because, I mean, we like what we saw in the first two camps and what we saw earlier in the season. Tonight was definitely different.
So they, you know, they want to work on it. They still feel there's something there.
BS translator.
Go ahead.
He got one more shot. Ooh. Because I have to, because Brody's ass is in a jackpot, and Brody's going to take the brunt, and if we're going to sell this team, that owner, and especially if that owner, Steve Cohen, and he understands that he's been around, and he understands that Brody wanted to bring in one of his former clients and wanted to come in and make this big trade when we had the number one prospect. He's out there hitting bombs, and we got guys, you know, fanning at pitches when we down by one run, you know, then – this is Brody's ass that's going to be in the jackpot, right? You know, and this is going to be tough to sell.
New owner usually means Cohen. New management. And new owner usually means right. New management, man.
Especially if it's Cohen and he has his ideas about how he wants to run his organization. Maybe they didn't even think that Brody was the guy for the job to begin with. So it's a lot of jobs on the line. And like I said, will Brody try and double down, understanding that his job's on the line, and try and make moves and make trades? But the thing is, they're losing games that they shouldn't lose. So they may not even be in contention, even with the expanded playoffs. You know, I mean, those are two games that they should have. And if you go back to the first series against the Braves, the one when they lost, five, the one where they had a great the first one in the series with the Braves where they before it started all the losing when they got their ass kicked the last couple games out. I think it was game two. You know what I mean? The Braves, yeah. When it was right in the balance.
It was 3-2.
Right, and they lost that one.
The bullpen just blew up.
Right. That's three games that they should have. If their bullpen, which they sold to us, was better than last year. We thought Familia was going to be better. He's been shaky. He's been okay. Bertanz has been good. But other than that, Wilson exploded last game against when DeGrom was on the mound. You can't lose those type of games. You know, Seth Lugo wasn't reliable.
Lugo security blanket. You can't keep going back to that well. And you also have to have confidence in your you have to have a closer that you are confident in. They don't have that.
You got
to
have
and
a wipeout guy.
They do have it though in Dellin Betances.
Yeah, but are they going to put him in that role? He hasn't been put in that role before. Remember, he was always the setup guy. That's
but he
role.
Always no. He was a closer for a little while with the
right.
They did use him in that, and he does see himself as that. He okay. doesn't. He has talked about that. He does see himself in that role.
Well, I don't know
on the Mets thing. What do you do though? But what do you do? Your translator from what Rojas said is you got one more shot.
Yeah, one more shot. And we will not put you in high level situations ever.
Man, this is going to be on Brody's on his career tombstone. Yeah. On his career tombstone, this trade will be on there because, I mean, it could it have been any worse? The kid you sent to Seattle is an absolute stud, and the guy you got him for can't throw a strike, and the other guy you took on because of the contract is basically in the way.
You know what's crazy? I want to see like all the position players. I want to see Conforto. I want to see Cespedes.
It'd be nice if Conforto showed up.
Yeah, I want to see Dom Smith, Rosario. I want to see them walk into Rojas's office and lay their jersey down and say, "This is for Betances." Like the Rudy, "This is for Betances." "This is for Betances." Like say, "Hey, we don't want to see this dude no more."
Hey, did you
the
ever
jersey
see
for Betances?
Did you ever see the SNL when J.J. Watt posted?
And they had like bits and pieces of it.
It was like a Rudy type thing where there was this kid like in the locker room and everybody was like saying, you know, no, to give him jersey. He should play. He should play. And then they get to JJ Watt. He goes, JJ, do you feel this? No. He sucks. We got to win, guys. And then he's like, all right, if you can get past me, then you can play. And then he's like, I know every play. All right, call this play. Next play. And then he finally runs out of it. JJ just lays him out. It's like what Rudy really was like. It was classic.
Oh, man.
On the Yankees side of thing, and we don't have a lot of time to finish on this, but let me just touch on it. Aaron Judge completely saves J-Hap. Like, completely saves J-Hap. You know, Loaiza, again, you know, normally you feel like he's going to be a guy that can give you anything or two-pitch kind of guy. But right, you know, that middle relief is kind of what he's going to be.
Yeah.
And they love him. But he, obviously, after the rain delay, did not look good. Gave up the home run. All of a sudden, now they're trailing. Aaron Judge saves them with the big three-run shot because the Orioles are just terrible. Their bullpen's awful. Yeah. Like, they're just not good. So they win again. It's like 18 in a row they've won at Camden.
Yeah.
So no surprise there. But am I – now I need you to tell me something. You need to call me out because you're the Mets fan. I went after you. You come after me and I was a Yankees fan. The Yankees have won four of their first five. And now they home opener finally against the Red Sox today.
Yeah.
And I can't help it. J-Hap just makes me angry.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to put it. J-Hap on the mound makes me angry. And I don't care. Like, I get it. Severino got hurt. You got it. You had to keep him.
They were trying to move.
Could you have somebody else? Someone else, please.
Serving up meatballs, too, high fastball. Yeah, just serving up meatballs. I tell you what, man. Like, if Judge, that's what's so frustrating if you're a Mets fan, because you had Alonso up, your guy, in a position to win it, doesn't come through. Then you look at Judge, saves the day. I mean, a little concern about Gleyber Torres and his elbow. You know, but you think maybe some ice and he'll be fine. But, you know.
He said he could have played, and he's hoping he could play today, which, you know, that'd be great. But, yeah, you always worry about that. But I'm telling you, Hap's that guy. When I see him on the mound, I'm angry.
Make him a bullpen game. He needs to be a bullpen day.
No.
He needs to be like first two innings and then start bringing other people in.
Let him throw BP before games.
He's not that bad. Well, he's good against the Red Sox. Why didn't they save him for the Red Sox? Isn't he like the Red Sox killer?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah,
That's what they signed him.
Anthony's giving me this whole, like, you know, everything's fine, calm down thing.
No, I just think you're overreacting about this specific thing.
Oh, what did you just say to me about him versus the Orioles?
His numbers against the Orioles aren't great.
Dude, what do you mean?
The Orioles.
Is it the uniform? Because the Orioles aren't even the same team as last year. Like, they change that roster every 5 days. Like, it's not even the same group of players.
It's to obey. Like, you go there and eat crab legs.
Well, his numbers against the Orioles. Right, exactly. Is it is it crab cakes and football? Like, what's the issue? Like, is it the building? Like, come on.
He can't get right, man. Listen.
The Yankees can't lose in that building, and he still can't pitch well. Come on, man.
I mean, I'm not going into the season depending on Hap, man. Hap, he looked like a shot fighter before. You know, he doesn't look like the guy that can adjust.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
But G. Stanton is doing well. I'm happy about that.
Yes.
I'm happy. There's a lot of things to feel good about.
They're going to cancel the season. He ain't going to have his Yankee moment.
Well, that is the other concern I do have, is the Yankees look so good, and their offense looks great, and, you know, they're having these moments. I mean, DJ has a great night, and then, you know, Aaron Judge comes up with a big night. You know, Gleyber had a really good game a couple games ago. Stanton just keeps raking. Yeah, Voit adroit. Grand slam. I stole that from Anthony. All right, Gary Sanchez can't hit and can't catch, but... All right, we'll figure that out.
The crack in the coming. He'll still find a way to hit over 20 home runs. He'll still find a way.
From your lips to God's ears in a 60-game season. That's when now I have that other anxiety of the Yankees look so good. They look like they're on their way. And, like, at some point in the middle of August, Rob Manfred's going to go, yeah, we've got too many teams that we've shut down. So,
yeah,
we're just not going to. Like, how about this? Last team standing. The last two teams that don't have a COVID outbreak play each other for the World Series. Why don't they just do that? Like, instead of just shutting a whole league down?
Yeah.
We're down to two teams left, so we're just going to play a World Series.
Musical chairs.
In a bubble city near you.
I am curious if they will have the playoffs, like, maybe in a bubble, two bubble cities by that time.
Well, the playoffs essentially are in a bubble. It's two cities. But if you just made ALCS is in this, like, in the higher seeds city, and we don't move.
Right.
Might have to do that. But I'm telling you, if I'm baseball and you're losing teams left and right because of this virus, then why not, let's just get straight into the playoffs. Let's just get this. You got to have something. You can't just end it and just not have a season. You did it in 94 under different circumstances, but find a way to play a World Series. All right, 800-919-3776. I've done enough complaining about baseball. But the Fox broadcast on the Met game last night, if you watched it, let us know what you think. I thought it sounded great. I thought the crowd I thought it was great to hear booing. Yep. You heard, you know, complaining. Like, I think there was a throw to first. The runner was barely leading off. People started booing. there was a Let's Go Mets chant.
Yeah.
You know, little things that made it feel a little more intense. I wonder if anybody who watched it, let me know what you think. 800-919-3776. So we asked the question. I'm just curious about, like, as you watched the Met game yesterday, it was on Fox, the national game for Fox, and you heard, like, the crowd noise that they obviously was artificial, but it was fantastic. It actually, at the right moments, made the game feel a little more intense. It's always curious what people think, and Kenny and Manalapan called to let us know what he thought. Kenny?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Bart, first of all, a longtime Jet fan. Thanks for your years of dedication. We came close, but one day we'll get the Holy Grail. And, Bart, I met you a few times at Moonwalk Casinos and Santonio Holmes bowling events a few times. We had a good time. You're a phenomenal bowler, too. I don't know if they know that.
They don't want that smoke. I've been trying to tell him I want to be a bowler. I've been trying to tell him I want to be a
bowler. He's a good bowler, too? Is this really?
Yeah.
Now we got to test
this. He was knocking them down. Yep.
Yeah, all right. I'm good at wee bowling.
getting to the broadcast, I thought, you know, besides the sound, did you see how they actually superimposed fans into the seats when there was a
That was weird.
When there was
a
foul ball?
Somebody walked by and, like, all of a sudden his face was cut off because of the graphic. Like, that was straight. I guess that part, I don't know if I loved that, but I thought the ambient noise, though, the crowd noise that they pumped into the
crowd
broadcast.
Noise, the microphone, it was great. It was like, I'm saying to myself, I'm like, oh, this is, you know, you actually get a feeling for the game instead of, like, being like in an empty gym, you know? It really had some good life to it.
Yeah, I thought it was done very well, Kenny. Thanks for the call. Like, I really do. I enjoyed it. I wonder if... Like, the other thing, that I flipped to the Yankee game, and then Judge hits the home run, and you hear nothing other than the Yankee dugout, which I actually found that to be cool. Like, to hear that, because, you know, like you guys know this stuff, right? But when you're on the field, you know it. It way before a fan knows it, especially baseball. Players know the sound off the bat right away. And the minute you heard crack, you heard guys in the dugout immediately go like, yeah, like you heard them all. And even like Kay at first was like, he reacted immediately to that sound and had a great call.
See ya.
Yeah, yeah. Here's Kay, all right? Anthony, we have it. Michael Kay's call on Aaron Judge's big home run to turn the game around.
Yeah! And that one's hit the guys to left field. There it goes. See ya. A 3-run home run for Judge. And the Yankees come back and they lead this one 8-6.
All that background noise are the players in the dugout. All of that. You hear it the minute that... Can we do it real quick? Just play the part where you hear the crack of the bat and the players react right away. Yeah! You hear it? Right there.
Those are all players?
Those are players in the dugout. What do you think that is?
Yeah! Thought it was piped in.
That's no one... That's not piped in.
Nice.
There's no one in the building. That's the Yankee dugout reacting. I found that to be awesome. Like, I thought that was really cool as well. But, again, good job by Fox. And let's see if they'll... use more of it, and maybe the NBA could also incorporate a little more. What'd you think of the NBA using the big screens with fans from home watching as if they're sitting in seats?
I loved it. And it's funny that because every once in a while you walk by, you see somebody, they had the little still shot of Chris Bosh, you know, being there looking up. He always looked like the little Ninja Turtle people that's off the mutant Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like the little things that had a real broad shoulders. Anyway, but like, I think that's cool, man. I think that adds a nice element and really is visually appealing to the viewers at home.
It's interesting.
Because we know that people are watching. It's almost right. Like when we do this versus battle, where we see, like, the people IG accounts, and we're like, oh, that's so-and-so. Oh, he chiming in. Oh, he watching.
Yeah.
And it'd be cool to be able to say, just like people paying to have their faces put on some of these billboards or these posters at some of these games, to have the virtual ones where people can chime in and, like, kind of pay to come in. I think that'd be cool. And all the money that you donate, say, like, to be in the crowd, then that goes to charities. That'd be dope.
Yeah. But you know what else was cool, too, is to see – behind the backboard, they also put it there to give it a little more authenticity when you're shooting a free throw, that it's not like a blank, you know, it's actually people moving around, so it can't distract you.
It looks like the heads on, like, Guess Who. You know, the Guess Who can. You got, like, Bob and, like all, like, little heads and stuff like that, man.
It was interesting. All right, more happening in the world of sports that we'll get to right now on Audio Files.
Audio file.
Well, you heard it in before we came back on the air in the commercial break during a promo about Mike Golic, who did his last broadcast in the morning show for many, many years, Golic and Wingo. And right before, obviously, it was Mike and Mike, which was a staple here, not just nationally for ESPN Radio, but also here on 98.7 ESPN. And even before 98.7, it was 10:50 a.m. And, you know, Golic's voice is one you heard in New York in the morning, day after day, year after year. And for me, for Mike Golic, it was like listening to, and it's going to sound weird, but it's like, you know, again, it's like having a cool dad around talking sports, especially a cool dad that played, you know, and had a different perspective on things, always quick to make fun of himself, to laugh at himself. Yeah. But just made a guy's guy might be the greatest compliment anybody can, any man can ever get. And I feel like that's my goal. It's a guy's guy, and you love talking sports. He's the guy you want to have a beer and talk sports with.
I mean, you heard
Greeny, even in the morning,
you heard Greeny talk about it as well, and you know, talking about how he kind of paved the way for the modern day athlete to not just be viewed as the jock that comes in and the funny guy. He actually was able to cross over and be able to have comments on baseball, you know, basketball, football, where it used to be where you just come in, you talk about what you know. So, I mean, in that sense, he's a trailblazer. He's in the Radio Hall of Fame, I believe that show is.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So you have to tip your cap. It's always hard to be one of the first. And for him to be doing it for 25 years, I think he did it for, or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, you know, round of applause for him. And I appreciate you for everything. Thanks for moving your ass over so some of those young guys can make some money.
Wow. He went there. Well, here's Golic and his final sign-off on the air.
This is why we did it, and this is why I did it for right here and what Mike just said. All the guests and all the people we mentioned, everybody was so important, but there's nobody as important than who is sitting right here on the set with you right now. Thank you all.
Got emotional there, as you would expect. So we move on. There'll be new people in the morning. There'll be some news for all of us here at the station coming soon, and we look forward to the changes, and we look forward to moving forward and continuing that legacy that Mike Golic, Mike and Mike, Golic and Wingo, all that they set. All right, moving on to baseball. Jeff Passan's on Get Up, and we told you about the Cardinals, and now there's two players testing positive there. They're being careful with. They are not going to play today. We know already, Phillies right now in a pause. The Marlins, they put them out in the middle of the C. Getting them trying to figure out that issue. And Jeff Passan had this to say about Major League Baseball deciding not to play in a bubble.
It was because nobody really wanted to, Greeny. You know, when I first wrote the story about the bubble, it was early to mid-April or so. The reaction from the players publicly was absolutely not. And this was not all the players. This was a few stars. You know, Mike Trout, for example, who's now on paternity leave having his first child, did not want to do it. There were a couple of others who came out. But don't just blame this on the players. The teams did not want to do it either. They wanted to play in their home parks. They wanted it to look like a major league product that they were putting on television. And honestly, they could have gone out to Arizona where, by the way, it was 119 degrees yesterday and 107, I think, at 9 o'clock at night and played those games there. They could have gone down to Texas. They could have gone to Florida. They still, I suppose, could, but the logistics screeny that would have to take place to do so would shorten the season even more than it is right now. This is in many ways a failure by everybody involved. If you want to point fingers, you go around the room, you go that guy, 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 and you wouldn't be wrong.
Here's the question, Bart. Why can't we then say when the playoffs do come, if God willing we get there,
they come,
we go bubble. It's the higher seed, and we play there, and that's it. Nobody travels, nobody moves, nothing, and just handle it that way.
I mean, when you look at the success that we think that NHL is having and the NBA is having with having zero, you know, positive tests, everybody, you know, being safe and feeling safe and secure. How could you not consider that if you have the opportunity and the ability to do that, especially for the playoffs where you don't want to have an outbreak during the playoffs? And then what happens is now you can't reschedule the playoffs. You can't reschedule, you know, say, okay, well, your team's out of the
playoffs.
You've
got to get through playoffs.
Right. You have
exactly.
To get through the playoffs.
Exactly. If you have an outbreak, it's not like you can go, okay, well, we're going to not play this game. You have to. So they got to figure out. They should already be coming up with a plan that let's just get to that finish line. And when we get to the playoffs, now we're really going to lock this thing down. All right, last but not least, because we're tight on time here, Jamal Adams, this is on SportsCenter, talking about how happy he is in Seattle now and that he has no bad feelings for his previous team.
I have nothing but love and respect for that organization. And, you know, I really do wish them well. I truly believe, hopefully, you know, they figure it out and you know, they start, you know, competing for championships over there. And
now all of a sudden he's talking like he's a champion. I hope they can be as great as me. I hope. By the way, went on to say he wants to retire a Seahawk. And as you know, as we talked about yesterday, they're not going to be extending him any type of a contract extension. And he's cool with it. And so when the Post put out a tweet that said Jamal Adams says he wants to retire a Seahawk and has a whole story, Nick Mangold put up a GIF of basically just somebody laughing, like a bemused laughter.
Yeah, bye, Felicia. Like, you just got there, bro. You don't know nothing about the organization. You don't know how it's going to happen. What if they offer you? Are you going to have that same energy if they franchise tag you? You going to have that same energy if they don't give you a contract extension? Like, no. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney was just there last year, and they said they wouldn't franchise tag him, so they let him walk. They didn't pay him. You know, so you don't know how they're going to see you and how it's going to work out. Listen, it's going to be an adjustment period, but let's see like how things work out before you start giving them a whole bouquet of roses talking about how great they are opposed to how bad the Jets are and you wish as well. No, you don't, because if you wish as well, you want to be here. Like, don't give us that, man. Don't give us the fake love. If there's no love, then there's no love. See you later, man. It's been real. Thank you. Thank you for giving me two first-round draft picks and McDougal, and we'll make it work with that. We okay, man. It don't have to be sunshine and roses, man. You didn't like it here. You were fed up. You wanted to get paid. You left and you didn't get paid. So you'll be getting paid the same time we're paying, you know, Yannick Ngakoue, or we're paying Shaq Barrett, or we're paying who we want to move forward with. You know, I think the Jets have tremendous stability. And listen, Jamal, you don't have to talk every time somebody asks you a question. You don't have to talk every time somebody put a microphone in your face, man. Sometimes you can say, I pass, man. I'm just going to let my play do my talking for me. Now let me get acclimated to my teammates. Just quit trying to put stuff out there, bro.
I love former Jets who had success with the Jets going at him right now this way. Nick Mangold, yourself, other, I love that because that shows that there is some pride in that uniform, in that logo. It's there. It's there. And all I want are people that can buy into that pride and want to be part of change. Like, again, Nick Mangold, Brick, you, a lot of you guys were David part Harris, of saying, Grievous, I'll turn the Jets into a winner. I don't Rex was like that too. I don't care what people say about, don't give me the same old Jets. It ain't us. We ain't the same old Jets. But if you want to be a guy that's like, this is too hard. It's just, I can't handle this. I want out. All right, well, you're not tough enough then. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays from 1 to 3 on 98.7 ESPN.